When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And this is ZD Donahue.
And we need to get through these kind of fast because I just had my husband get out some ice cream downstairs.
Okay. And that's why we have to go fast.
Because soften up.
We've been starting our podcast recently with just a little overview of some of the cards we got when we closed our brick and mortar store and we were given a card shower. So are you going to go
first? You start.
Well, I actually have one from Karen Derby's.
Karen!
And it's a pretty card with butterflies and it's a personal note only. And she's written a full card full of stuff. And she says that we've had a huge impact on her attitude about sewing.
Now,
it doesn't say negative
which
or positive.
Way? Okay.
Right. Although, I think it's probably positive because she says she likes hearing or watching us online and it always brightens her day. So I'm assuming we've made a positive thing.
Okay. With this, I feel like this round of cards is a big... What do I want to say? Lots of words.
For some reason, we picked out ones Kim, that had a lot of handwriting and personal messages.
Kim wrote us, and Kim has a lovely business making children's clothing, and I love seeing her stuff. So look on social Saturday to see when Kim shares her blog and her page. And she wrote us a note, and she told us that her family no longer has to ask who Mallory and ZD are, we're the celebrities. And she wishes us the best in our online ventures and says she'll support us in any way possible.
So this has no return address. Thank goodness it's who I think it is, though, because of the postmark. It's Kate Blythe.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and I think we actually have some personal connections in the non-sewing world.
You do?
Yes, I think we have some, in common friends.
Yeah.
That are on our personal. And here's what's funny. She's from Kansas City, but her card is a Carlton card.
Oh, it's not a Hallmark.
It's not a Hallmark.
Oh.
So Hallmark, its headquarters is in Kansas City, so... She struck her own way to go here. And it does, of course, says best wishes on your journey. And I think she's got some small children. And so glad you're with us, Kate. Thank you.
I got a card here from Nancy Dahl. And Nancy's card's from Trader Joe's. And she wrote us a really nice note here. And just she says, congratulations on reaching 1,000 members in the Self-Sewn Wardrobe. So we must have been at 1,000 members when this happened. And she commends us for creating a nice, thoughtful, funny community. And I thank you, Nancy, because that's what we're trying to do.
And I do think we have a thoughtful community. I really like it. Okay, Betsy Rogers' card. There's some subtle things in here. She made this card. And on the front, she has... cut out some
fabric,
and one of them
is fabric.
Yeah, I guess I was going for designs, but she's cut designs out of fabric, and one of them is a
dress form,
and then one has buttons on them. One's just a, and she used pinking shears. Look, she probably knew this was going to come.
Oh,
to me.
God, no,
but,
no.
The other thing is, she talks about her ASG group, okay, and look on the back, she's from Seattle. So it kind of looks like on the back of this card, there's a stamp that says ASG, which is American Sewing Guild. And then it looks sort of like the
Space Needle,
but it's threaded.
That's pretty hilarious.
Okay. So Betsy Rogers is not Betsy Ross. She did not.
That's right. She didn't sew the American flag,
people.
But
we sometimes get her confused because she's such a sewing phenomena. And anyway, she's happy that we're doing this, and she wants us to come and speak to the ASG group in Seattle.
We're there. We're there, Betsy. We'll do it. Also, talking about wanting to see us, Amber from Belgium, she wrote us the first letter that she'd ever written since she was 12, she says, and it's a really long letter, and she sort of mourns the closing of the shop a little bit, even though she's from Belgium, and says that she's sad that if she ever came to the U.S., she wouldn't be able to visit us. Just tell us you're coming, Amber.
Right.
We'll make a little meeting happen. And then she also said that if we ever made it to Belgium, that we would get a home-cooked meal,
right.
And she would help you get some
lace.
So
if she comes here,
yeah.
We have kitchens.
We do.
And she could cook for us here, too.
Oh, okay.
So
all
we
right.
can work that out.
I thought I was going to say, yeah, we'd cook
Mallory
for her.
Mallory and I really like to eat.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Yes, we do.
So, and I guess we hope to, as this evolves,
Get around the globe a bit.
Get around and also host some meetups here in Columbia,
yes.
And things like that. So if you are missing seeing us in person, you can go to Target and see us. We just saw a customer there yesterday.
That's right. We saw a customer in Target.
Or you can go grocery shopping in Columbia. No, I'm kidding. I get my groceries delivered. No, I'm also, anyway, I make my husband
I'll see you in aerial yoga.
Yes, we'll see you. So today we're going to talk about how we got to go to Baby Locke's annual gathering of creative people.
Sewing influencers is what they were calling
us. Is that what we are? Is that what we are?
Sewing influencers.
Sewing influencers. It's called Common Threads.
I've always known you were an influence. I'm not sure exactly what adjective
no,
I would have
you are the influence.
Oh, I don't know. I think we both might have to own up to it.
Did you see that someone said in the live broadcast, I was talking about how I had to do my sleeves on my sequined outfit
splitting.
And how I almost, like, just cut out, like, four of the same.
Yes, and they said I was in your head.
Yeah, and I was like, but some voice spoke to me. And they were like, it was ZD's voice.
I said, Mallory,
you can't cut them all out the same way.
What are you doing over there?
I almost did that, too. Okay, well,
That's easy to do.
Something... Right? Like,
yeah.
Yes,
it's
anyone would do, but like, I would definitely
it's
do
easy
it.
To do.
Yes. And I'm so thankful that I didn't. Okay.
I've never cut anything out on the wrong side ever in my life,
I said,
I'm sure.
I said, that's
right.
Why we get all those yards
right.
of fabric. It's not
well,
because
no,
we're
no,
tall
no.
or
no.
something, you know?
It's like when people say, how do you know that? It's like, I already did it that
right.
way five times wrong.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, ZD's so knowledgeable. It's
yeah,
like,
well, because
yeah.
ZD screwed up a whole
that's right.
lot.
That's right.
Yeah.
We feel like we can talk about that stuff.
Plus, I was here when Lycra was invented. Like, I was...
You were prehistoric
yes,
times.
Yes, yes. I was born before Lycra. Actually, you know, I was born, like, when the hula hoop was born. And I have won several hula hoop contests.
ZD's really good at hula hooping. I've told Zelda. Because she gets to play with them. And I said, you know who's really good at hula hooping? And Derek goes, Sugar. And I was like,
Derek knew.
I was like, not me. Okay. So we got to go to Common Threads, and it's very convenient for us.
I know. I love being in love with Baby Locke.
I know.
You know, it's like I picked a lover close to home.
That's
or something.
Right. Well, I'm not really into long distance relationships.
No,
so,
not me anymore.
You
either.
Know,
no.
This is good. So it's it took place at their training facility,
which is in St. Louis or Fenton, which
Fenton.
Is like a suburb of St. Louis.
And we're just about 2 hours away from there, so we got to go. And it's at the building they own. It's like at their
right.
place, so it's cool because all their machines are
right.
there. You can take a tour of the facility, which I opted out of this time.
I didn't go. You know, I'm sorry. I've been out like five, six times. I just didn't go this
and
time.
And I was hurting.
Right.
I was feeling some
well,
pain. And
actually,
I, was like,
I think I was. I didn't know how much work I was going to have to do that night, so I'm glad I opted
that's
out.
That's right. So
right.
more on that later. So we got there on Wednesday morning and checked into the luxurious Drury Hotel Fenton.
Actually...
It's very nice.
You know, there's just not a thing wrong with the Drury Hotel.
And
it's
the staff fine. Is staff's always real nice
right.
there.
Now, some people might not know what a Drury is because do you know that that is a Missouri-owned, like,
originated
in Missouri.
In
yeah,
Missouri.
In Southeast Missouri. In Cape Girardeau, Sam.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
Where Sam originated from.
And there's a few listeners and group members from the Cape
yeah,
area.
Yeah.
They were like, I'm from Southern Missouri,
right.
you know? So... We checked in. We got to rest for a little bit, and we got our goodie bags, and we looked through them. If any Common Threads participants are listening, you got something maybe you don't know that's very coveted, but the I Am a Sewing Machine pin.
Right, the lapel pin.
Yeah, we gave the enamel I Am a Sewing Machine pins to the participants there. So hopefully everybody's wearing them.
So there were about 50 participants.
Like, hopefully Nancy Zeman and Jenny Doan and,
I think Nancy
Zeman
should wear it on her next series on
that's right.
public television.
It's probably her most prized possession now.
And if anybody missed it.
But that, yeah, that's...
Nancy Zeman.
Right, so we get
there. Yeah. Because we drove. Not everybody drove.
Yeah, we drove, and then I just all of a sudden developed this really bad pelvic pain.
Right.
Right.
Because she's pregnant right now, if anybody doesn't know.
And so, like, my pubic symphysis is spreading out and causing me a lot of pain. And
she moaned a lot.
Oh, I was going to be nice to you just now, okay. But now I don't know. No. Mom's like, you take it easy.
I thought I was very gracious the whole time.
You were. She's like, it's over now. No. She's like, you take it easy. Ask me to do stuff. It's okay. So, you know, we had to go get her stuff, and we go downstairs to this, like, side door, you know?
Right.
And there's Nancy. She's, like, going in the front door. She's a ways down the sidewalk. And I was like, hi. Like, I'm waving at her, you know, while you're back in the car.
You still get that thrill when you see her with this celebrity.
She's the real deal, you know?
Right. She is the original deal.
So she... held the door open while we had this
forever
trolley.
While we were unpacking
she
the
kept
car.
Staying.
I said thank you like twice.
I was like almost embarrassed. I was like, now I've got stuff on the truck and on the trolley. You know what I'm talking about? Like a hotel cart. I was like, I can prop the door open now. You can go. She's like, nope, got nothing else to do. And I was like, okay,
well,
you know.
I have never ever been with this woman that she was not gracious. And funny. And that is one thing she does not come across.
She's hilarious.
She does not come across on PV. I mean, she comes across as smart, but not as clever and as smart as she is.
She's
funny. She could be a comedian.
She doesn't get to crack the jokes.
No, on PBS.
I feel like that she does
live.
Well,
and it's kind of dry.
A little bit,
And she tells a lot of blonde jokes because she's blonde. But
oh, you mean her humor's dry? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, her humor.
It is some of the best dry humor. And I think we'll talk about that when she talks on the panel, right? Because she had like she had a really good joke there.
A couple of them, right. Zingers.
So Nancy holds the door open for us for like a million years, and that was very nice of her to do.
So that was our, like, greeting.
Yeah, it was... Oh, you know.
Obviously, she was waiting for us.
Yes. She was like, oh, good. ZD and Mallory here. I'll open the door for them. So we get up to our room. We rested for a little bit. And we got our goodie bags. We got our schedules.
Right.
Okay. And we noticed, so there's supposed to be a cocktail party that evening. So it said we had the welcome and, like, get to know each other hello thing. And then cocktail party. And for those of you who are part of the group, that's what I've been working on. That's what that sequin dress outfit thing is for. It's for this cocktail party.
Right.
So we're like, do we get to come back to the hotel? And this is a reasonable question because you can walk. You know, it's across the parking lot to their training center, right? We're like, oh, do we get to come back or do we have to go in our outfit? Ooh, we don't know. And then I was like, you know, I have got to wear this outfit. Like, I can't not wear it, you know?
So for those of you who are listening to this, like, in retro, Mallory is, like, 7 months pregnant, and she's made herself a full sequined outfit.
For this cocktail party.
Right.
But I thought, I didn't want to just, like...
Very inconspicuous, as it turned out.
Yeah, I didn't want to just wear it over to the Tacony Achievement Center.
Well, it was also 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's an after 6 outfit, you know?
Right.
Okay, but... They, you know, the organizers, they put their cell phone numbers in the beginning of that pamphlet. So
guess what?
Sorry, Kelly.
They got phone calls.
I know. I texted her. I was like, hey, Kelly, I have this really important outfit to wear. And do we have time to change? And she was like, no, come in what you're wearing. And luckily you've got knowledge of the center. And I thought, Mom and I planned. We're like, we'll just bring a garment bag. We're a little... I'm just afraid I'm going to freak everybody out in this thing. Like, you know.
The sequin dirigible.
Yeah, really looks silly in it. But we got there and people were dressed very nicely.
There were people in cocktail garb yes. already.
There were some shiny people. And
well, we saw the one Lindsay too, and I was like, "Oh, my dress is very similar to yours. I feel safe." Yeah,
Lindsay Connor. Hey, yeah. Lindsay, if you're listening. And anyway, and Mimi,
the one Lindsay. They don't know there too, but there's several. That's what we several call Lindsay. Yeah, that's what we call them.
Mimi G was there of Mimi G style with her husband Norris, and
yeah,
they weren't dressed sparkly, but they were of course dressed very chic.
Oh
you know?
My gosh, they are like. Point on.
Like beautiful people.
They're beautiful, but it looks effortless.
Yeah.
It's that kind of like good looking that really pisses you off. Because I don't think they're trying.
No,
it's just like it comes with them.
Something to be envious of for sure. Yes. It's just like,
did you see beautiful. His pink sports coat the next day?
Was dressed. I felt like I was going to, I didn't actually end up introducing myself because I was so.
Enamored.
Yeah, like starstruck, sort of. Right. Anyway, okay, so then we decided, okay, well, we'll just change into her clothes now because we don't want to not have time. And we did the speed dating thing.
Yes, in our cocktail clothes.
In our cocktail clothes. So there was an inner circle and an outer circle. And we rotated around and said hello to everybody. Right.
And the best part about this is Mallory and I accidentally sat down in sequence. And
yes.
I was like sitting down with the person first. And then, of course, when we got up and moved, she would be at the person after me. So I could start a story. And then I could say, and now Mallory will finish.
We were quite the package. Yes. And so we were on the outer circle. I felt like they put the newbies. They made the newbies get up and move around.
And a lot of the inner circle people were also like corporate people, like Better Homes and Gardens.
Yeah.
The publishing
people.
Company. Right, right. They weren't as plain folk.
Right, right. You know, so we got to see Nancy and
we got to see Nancy again. It was great because we didn't like make her talk to us.
No,
I'm sure she was like, oh, here comes another one. Comes another one. Right.
I got to see Mary Fawns. She was on the inside. Right. So we got to rotate around.
And she and I didn't talk about sewing either.
No.
Yeah. We have something else in common that we talked about.
And Jenny Doan was on the inside, so it was fun to talk to her.
Right,
you know, we got to...
And we know her. She's like our neighbor.
She
lives like 2 hours the other way from us in Missouri.
Pretty cool to, you know, have some Missouri sewing power there. It was it was really neat. And, I mean, there were people from Threads, Sew News.
I knew very few people there. By sight, anyway.
And Better Homes and Gardens. And I think that... One of my, like, favorite people I met was Lisa from Better Homes and Gardens. And we got to sit together.
No, I like Jody.
You like Jody?
Wasn't it Judy?
No.
It was Jody. It was Jody.
Jody?
Jody's the one that said the stuff about me.
Oh, she is from Better Homes and Gardens, too.
I am so in love with her.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they
were
both.
She, like, almost made me cry.
They were both like, oh, we don't do garment sewing stuff. And I was like, it's cool. I still love you.
Well, you know, this is something that was brought up over and over again. Garment sewing and
quilting.
And as always, there's more quilting-oriented things there, it seems like.
Right.
Even though we had our fair share of garment power,
absolutely.
I felt. But, that's something we need to explore.
I thought it was great. And there was so much unity.
What I'm talking about,
right,
that there is unity and that we hear a lot about, oh, garment versus quilting versus, you know, they're two different animals and, you know.
Right.
We all want sewing machines. We're all in love with our sewing machines and our thread and our fabric. I might be in love with, you know, everything that has lycra in it and somebody else is in love with everything that's quilted cotton. But, you know, there's a crossover there that we're in love with this stuff and that we understand about each other.
And that really shone through because we got to, everybody was just so happy to meet and talk with everybody.
Right, right. So, and you were there, we were there for what, 2.5 days?
Yeah.
Is that right?
No, well,
two.
Like 2 days.
2 days.
It was like a half day,
yeah,
a whole
day.
Yeah,
half day and a whole day and a half day, right.
So we, that evening, got to, after speed dating, got to go to the St. Louis Fashion Fund, and that's what I was just looking up on my phone.
Right.
Mom.
And this is actually a storefront, but it's a workshop, designer's studio that Baby Lock is underwriting.
Yeah, so they call it the incubator, this space,
right?
Okay. And so, like Mom said, there are sewing machines upstairs, there are these studio spaces, and they
They're young designers.
Yeah, what this
There's no old designers, they're all young.
What this fashion fund is trying to do is bring back not only the design aspect, but the manufacturing aspect to Washington Avenue in St. Louis.
So, which used to be the garment shoe district of St. I don't know if anybody knows this. I don't know how old this information is, but St. Louis was the shoe capital of the world at one time.
Okay, so from their website, quote, you know, which is exactly what you're saying.
Oh, really?
Quote, just a couple of generations ago, St. Louis was second only to New York as a center of fashion in the United States. Focused on Washington Avenue, the industry here both designed and made shoes, boots, lingerie, and dresses, especially young women's dresses, that helped clothe the nation. We are bringing that action back right where it used to be on Washington Avenue downtown. Right. So, yeah.
The ball team was the St. Louis Browns for Brown Shoe Company.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. So that's I mean, you know, it was all about shoes and fashion. And Washington Avenue also was where Anatole's, remember when I worked for Anatole's, which they had a lot of millinery products and everything, and you could go down there, and not only did the public buy, but wholesalers. So that business was on Washington Avenue at one time. Right.
Well,
right.
It was really neat, and like Mom said, there was a little bit of retail there. The designers had their items out.
Oh, someone bought something.
Someone bought. Well, actually, I was kind of cool that I think Nikki
bought
that. She bought that dress.
I don't know if she bought or she ordered. Did she buy and order
I don't know. I think she bought that one, though, for sure.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, well, hey, let's go over there. And there is this, the designer's name is Ruben Rules, yes. I believe is how yes. I say, you say
and
his last name?
His label is Domestic. It's Demestik, I believe.
Yep. And so he, you know, basically was riffing on the word domestic and trying to have everything made in the U.S. and had been in New York. And he uses Dutch wax cloth and makes these really beautiful garments for both men and women.
Right.
He had men and women's clothing. And did you get like a wrap?
I got a wrap dress. Yes.
And I was really sad because he had like smalls and he had extra larges.
And I was like a large too. Yeah, so but you don't know what size you were.
No, in my shoulders.
No, you know, you don't think your shoulders are bigger because you're pregnant, but they are.
But maybe like a little bit. But I wasn't no small.
You're going around with body dysmorphia.
Not going to be no small shoulder.
No,
you'll
never be
a
small shoulder.
Yeah, so I think I was like a large or a medium shoulder, and he didn't have those. But he said I could order them. But Mom bought a dress. Yeah,
I did.
Mom bought a dress.
I rarely do that. It was just like so much fun and so neat. And
well, that's what you know, I think that we like to kind of reserve our purchases special stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I think it was like, this is not a purchase anyone can make anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, he was having a ball putting stuff on me and playing around.
Right, and with everybody.
It was fun.
So Domestik, Demestik, and he is on Instagram and stuff. And Ruben Rules is his name. So it was really neat, though, to see everybody's work
there. And
there were
actually six designers working in that space while we were there.
And I think like four of them in attendance that evening.
Is that what it
at the cocktail parties. That's where I got to wear my sequin dress.
Yes.
And or a sequin outfit. It's a crop top and a pencil skirt, just in case you're wondering. But that's another podcast episode. So we did that, and we had a fabulous time.
They had good food.
Good food. I was about to say that, too. I
had a buffet, and it was really good.
And, you know, another shout-out to Baby Lock. I know their staff pretty well. You know their staff pretty well. And those people, they're in there unpacking sewing machines.
That's right.
Serving food, helping you out. Like those employees are chameleons, you know.
They really are.
They do a lot of stuff, and everybody is very kind and humble. So I like that. So we went straight up to bed after that.
Right.
Unlike the next night.
So we had to take the bus back.
Yeah, to take the bus back and went straight up to bed. And the next day was our full day of sewing. So in the morning, had some breakfast, and we went in and we did Melissa Mora of Melly Sews. We did a project with her where we made these camisoles that are supposed to be worn post-surgically for breast cancer patients. and the camisoles have pockets in them. We constructed them on the serger and the sewing machine, and that was very...
it was a garment specifically for them post-op, so, like, they could put, you know, drains and things that they had post-surgically.
And I can't remember the link she shared with us. I believe it was like melisews.com/camisole.
Right, it's
Melisew
something, so you could get it.
But she had a really neat sort of structure for that. So if you ever do come across this project, you can pay what you want for the pattern and the instructions, and all of that money goes toward, I can't remember exactly the foundation, but...
Right, it is a breast cancer foundation, and and what you pay is considered a donation.
Yes. So it's not going to her.
Right.
So if you're doing this, like, you could, you know, you could set this up as a fundraiser.
Right.
Collect money and then pay that amount of money to get the pattern if your sewing guild's doing it or something like that, you know.
I think it's her pet project. Was it her grandmother, I think, had breast cancer?
Yeah, her grandmother died from breast cancer, had it twice in her life. So that was very interesting. And it was a neat project to do. And then after that project, next was the panel.
Oh, that's right.
That's what happened next. And on the panel was Nancy Seaman. Mimi G. Oh, Mimi G went first. Okay, so it was Mimi G, and it was Nancy Seaman, and then a Baby Lock employee. I believe she was, I think she's,
Isabel.
Yeah, but she's like head of marketing or something, her title. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Her head of digital marketing, I think, and Isabel Pastrana is her name. And it was really a wonderful discussion that we had. And we'll cover the discussion after the message break.
Hey, Mal.
Hey, Mom.
I heard you were easy.
Oh, no!
What does that mean?
No, it means what you really heard was... Well, Mallory, your easy tee looks so good on you.
Oh,
yes.
I should have known that it was something about something you made.
Like you said, you're getting into your golden years. Sometimes, you know, mishearing things, it happens.
No, you're
right?
The one that mishears things. I know this. You make lapel pins about it.
Okay, so I am currently wearing an easy tee, and I wear them all the time. The easy tee is a semi-fitted short sleeve t-shirt made out of a woven fabric, and you draft the easy tee to fit your measurements by taking the easy tee class.
Well, how do I take this class?
It's an online class that you can watch anytime on sewhere.com. To purchase the class, go to sewhere.com/easytee. That's just EASYT.
Is this on my computer?
It's on your computer. It's on your phone. It's on your iPad. The class is divided up into short, easily consumable segments, some of which you may not ever need to watch ever again, but some of which you might want to revisit. So you have the ability to mark lessons as completed and also to star lessons so you can go back and revisit the ones that are most important to you.
And I can vouch, Mallory's easy tea is a lot easier than Mallory is.
Once again, go to sewhere.com/easyt to begin your pattern drafting journey.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, and we're back. So the influencer panel started off with Mimi G. So do you have anything? What was your most memorable Mimi G moment, Mom? Do you have one? anything she said.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. She was just so impressive, so young. She was 14 and had a baby, didn't finish high school, very dysfunctional family. And, I mean, this woman has made it on her own.
And I'd heard a little bit of that personal story where she's like, you know, I was a teenage mother. I, you know, this dysfunctional family, a victim of sexual abuse.
And, you know, she's very well spoken.
Yeah.
Comes across as very well educated. Like, I would not think this person, like, didn't finish high school. Now, what she's done to educate herself or inform herself.
No, but it's not like it's not like the first thing you think about her or anything
No.
But it was really, I thought, so very nice of her to share that was her real experience of life.
Yeah, I mean, she shared the realness of her and who she was.
So I'd heard a lot of that on another podcast, on Abby Glassenberg's podcast. And so that was great. And then she was very straightforward about, you know, everybody there is in the business of creating content that's about sewing or making or quilting or, you know, whatever. And she was like, I did this and this made me money. This helped me connect with my audience. And she was like, I think we should talk about this stuff. And so that was cool.
She was very much about being your real self and not pretending to be anyone. Now we've got, so we have to stop pretending that I'm really mean
she
and
said,
you're nice.
That's right. That's right. Is that what we have to stop pretending? Oh, okay.
Should let everybody know I'm really the nice one.
One of her bullet points was like, I don't give a damn. Like, she was very, and she says, she's like, I manage my own Instagram. Right. That's where I'm active. Da, 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 da.
I was impressed by how many people she did not employ. Now, I know they have contractors and things like that, but you know, it was her and her husband doing most of it.
Yeah, and she said she has, like, an assistant, you know, who I imagine is, like, a full-time person, you know. But, you know, it's encouraging because that's what we got, right?
Right.
We should basically have the millions of followers that Mimi G has
in
no time.
That's right, because it's you and I and Sam.
That's right. We should have that in no time. So
I don't know. Maybe Sam's not carrying her weight. What's the problem?
Going on? Why don't we have 253,000 Instagram followers? Anyway,
she was very refreshing is what I would say.
I definitely, you know, her face, her, you know, being a woman of color and a younger woman, it's not like something you see all the time at a sewing convention, you know. But I thought that Baby Lock did such a cool job because Mimi G, I would imagine they gave them some kind of prompt like, hey, can you talk about this?
Right.
She described like the arc of her business, you know? And then next was Nancy Zeman.
Right.
And it's so funny because she described the arc of her business and there were some similarities and there were some differences.
Right.
And I thought that that was so cool. And Mimi was sitting there at the table while Nancy was talking and you could see Mimi like shaking her head. Yes. And so, and laughing.
Well,
both
pioneers.
Yes.
And Nancy Zeman just pioneers in the fact that she was a woman in business in the early 80s.
Well,
she was, men were who ran the sewing.
She acknowledged that too. She said it was very cutthroat. And she pointed to all of us. There were only like two men there as attendees, Mimi's husband, Norris, and Christopher Thompson, who is the tattooed quilter. And she said, you know, we never would have seen this big gathering of women sharing ideas.
She said,
there just wasn't a space for it. And then my like favorite part of Common Threads was when she talked about kind of one of her first books, products, ideas, you know, that she really was like putting out there was the Busy Woman's Guide to Sewing.
Right.
And she said she put it out sort of, you know, in response to this other book that was, I believe, entitled something like, you know, The Woman's Guide to Dressing.
Written by a man.
Way to spoil my punchline.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She puts a slide of this book up and it's, you know, Women's Guide to Dressing. And she kind of looks out at us. She's like, by John something something or other, you know? And so it was clear that Nancy was not to be mansplained to.
Yes.
She was not going to have that.
Nancy has written her own life script.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Well, the other funny thing I think she said was when she was talking about, like, her first job and how she went and interviewed for it. And she's like, Nancy Licky went and interviewed with Mr. Zeman. And I got the job, you know.
That's right.
Like laughing, you know, because I get that's how she met her husband.
That's right.
You know, but yeah, she it was really cool of her to talk about a woman's you know, experience
exactly
during that time. And you and Nancy are like the same age, right?
Very close. Very close. I think we're within a year of each other somehow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know who's older.
So
probably me.
It was really cool to hear. And she, you know, Mimi was. She kind of started off her presentation like, you got to be online. She's like, if you want to make it, she's like, you got to be online. You got to be there. Da, 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 da. And Nancy, she started out her story with like, I had to make a catalog. I had to do this. I had to do that. And then, of course, Nancy is also online now.
And Nancy was on a typewriter.
Yeah. And you know, Nancy's like mimeographs
and
Mac publishing.
Right. And, you know, I mean, making fun of like, she's gone through all of the developments.
Right. And she was like, oh, we did this whole catalog. And
but
then,
you notice she's right up with everything right now.
That's right.
She's not back there in the 80s.
No.
She is right here right now. Nobody, I mean, you still can't catch up
with
her.
No, she hasn't missed a beat.
Right.
So it was just really cool to kind of hear about that and hear about her sort of like technological journey. And she likes to sort of poke fun at the tedium and the early.
Oh, she tells on herself.
Yeah.
Like she talks about her mistakes and what happened and, you know, how silly. And then the first building they bought, she said it was on the market. What was it for? Like,
She said that they put in an offer. This is what I remember. That they put in an offer for $75,000.
Right, but it was on the market for like $150,000.
Oh.
And it had been on the market for 2 or 3 years or something.
Okay.
And it, you know, this was the mid 80s, I guess. And, you know, interest rates were 13-14%, whatever, you know, and they weren't going to be able to afford that $150,000. That was like so much. And so they put in a bid for $75,000 in less than
like an hour
or something. Yeah, like 2 hours later, they told her she had the building. She goes, I will always wonder if I could have, what I could have really gotten
that building
for.
Yeah. 30, no, yeah, though that was really funny.
You know, I can't remember what it was. It was like 20,000 square feet, and, you know, today it's, you know, 200,000 square feet or whatever.
She talked about being in business with her husband and having her children. She's also somebody who's been on Abby Glassenberg's podcast, and I listened to that, too, and it was neat to hear. And once again, these two people kind of got into the business side of things, which I think we were all appreciative of. You know, everybody has a different style of running their business, and it's always good to hear where people have been successful, because, you know, you got to pay the bills.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? You know,
if you're not supporting these people that you like in some monetized way,
right,
they're not going to be there.
Not
I mean,
for long.
They can't do it.
Yeah.
Nobody can do everything for free.
Right. So then the last person to speak on the panel was a Baby Lock employee. She's not like a celebrity, you know, a sewing influencer necessarily.
Just to us.
No, she told me, she was like, oh, Mimi asked me for my Instagram. And she's like, I'm never on there. I'm always on Baby Lock's Instagram. I was like, well, you better start, you know.
Right.
So Isabel spoke, and it said in the description of, like, you know, we knew this panel was happening.
Right.
It said she was going to talk about diversity in sewing. And I was like, oh, like, cool that Baby Lock is like going after this,
right?
I don't
know who's addressed to that yet.
Yeah, and there have been people, I feel like.
Yeah.
And not a lot of companies.
Companies, like, okay.
Because I mean, listening and exploring the blogosphere, well, first of all.
Well, obviously, the self-sewn wardrobe is diverse.
Well, yeah. Right. But what I was going to say is the advent of the internet, you know, makes it more available to more people. And so there are people from more diverse backgrounds able to publish and get their voices out there. So that is good, but there's still that kind of, like, you know, there's a corporate aspect to it. There's, once again, that monetization that people need to stay in business.
Right.
And, you know, they shared that they were contacted by a blogger, or they had contacted a blogger and said, we want to work with you. And, you know, this person voiced disappointment. They were like, you know, everyone you've featured in such and such challenge, you know, it's just clear that you're not interested in representing everyone who sews. Mm-hmm. And they were very honest. They put up the pictures of, and it was from the Destiny like stitch along challenge. Yes. And I know a lot of those people. Right. Evie, okay.
Yep.
Sarah Gallegos. Joy Mayon.
These are lovely people.
They're lovely people. And Baby Lock knows that, you know.
Right.
But they looked up and they said, yeah, we chose 12 people and they were all, you know, white women.
Look like white women.
And, you know, Isabel said it kind of cut us that somebody felt that way, that we weren't representing.
And Isabel is.
Isabel's Puerto Rican.
Is that what she is saying? Yeah. She was Latin. Yeah,
and I believe she said that in her. Well, and it said,
I think you're right.
It said in the description, she's like, she's very
proud
of her.
And the woman that was in charge of this Common Threads event.
Yeah, she's an Asian woman of color, right. Christine Hong. And they were, you know, you could see them kind of like look at each other during the presentation, like, whoa, we're women of color. We want to be represented too.
Right.
We understand, you know. And so it was really great to have Isabel, as a woman of color, like presenting this information. And, you know, Common Threads was mostly white women. There were a few people of color there, for sure. But the
younger people, okay, so I would feel like the more people of color were in the
younger set. Absolutely.
Okay, so I was probably almost the oldest. There might have been a person or two older than me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm 64. And Mallory was probably the youngest.
Close to.
Yeah. You know, maybe somebody. You and I were on the opposite ends of the age spectrum there. So anybody like my age certainly was white.
Yeah. Well, and this is, once again, I feel like if we look at the history of our country and access to resources and access to education and publishing resources, here we are. Like, this is the dawning of the age when lots more people who look different have access to these opportunities.
Or even act different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or have different types of families.
Right. Right. Yes. So people of all different, you know, people who aren't, well, okay. So
people who aren't just like us.
Like us. Yeah. And we're pretty white bread.
We're the white bread of America.
we're not.
Oh, no. I have a gay daughter.
Yeah, that's true.
There we go. I have a gay daughter.
Little applause for mom.
Yeah,
good job.
So I did something right. I don't know.
Keep listening. Keep listening. I promise. So Isabel talks about this, and she talks about how Baby Lock is going to, you know, have a commitment to, you know, make sure that they are representing everyone.
Right. They wanted us to also, like, what should I say?
Recommend?
Encompass the idea of diversity in sewing, and it's there, and we need to know it's coming.
They weren't just touchy feely about
it.
You know, I appreciated this too, because I sometimes corporate morality, I think you can see some hypocrisy quick.
You don't know how well it's scripted.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So it's like everybody can be like, oh, well, we love people of color and people who have different sexual orientations, da-da-da-da, right? But they were like,
say anything.
Yeah, but you know, they were very upfront. They were like, we need to not be dumb about this. You know, people of color and gay people and da-da-da, they sew. They want to buy sewing machines. Let's show them that we're there. And
we have common loves, common interests.
Well, and Mimi G said, she goes, yeah, you know, the stereotype that, like, Latina women don't spend money. She was like, that's BS. And I was like, yeah, I mean, duh. Like, you know. And so that was very, you know, I thought it was genuine and also, like, grounded.
It was sincere.
Yes, sincere.
It was absolutely sincere.
And not too saccharine.
Well, I think I pointed out to you years ago that Baby Lock's ads, their pamphlets and everything, did have people of color. And there were other sewing machine companies where everyone, not only were they white, they were blonde.
Yeah, they were like, brunettes
there. Yeah, I was like, let's be white. And I mean, how white can you get?
Right. So, you know, and of course there are white people who sew, and we're white, and that's, you know, great and everything. But
there are white people who sew very well.
Yes, but representation matters. I mean, seeing yourself represented can help you to know, hey, I can do this. You know, and honestly,
everybody wants to see somebody that looks like them, which is funny because sometimes you get to know that person that looks like you, and that's not the person you're really attracted to.
You know, and I think that they were very real about, like, okay, we were trying to choose 12 people who could show this off. Like, let's be honest. How could we have overlooked the, like, of course there's a person of color who could have represented the,
well, yeah,
the destiny. And the fact that they came out and said that, I thought it was so cool.
Right.
And I must admit, after this speech, and it was kind of solemn. It was
the room
serious.
Was very quiet,
and
it was hard to read what the room was feeling.
And Isabel was being serious. She was not like trying to crack jokes.
Nope.
Because that's not.
It
a
was
good...
very serious, and we did learn later that there was a lot of discussion, especially between her and Christine, about how was this going to go over? How was this, you know, how was this presentation going to be taken?
So it was pretty quiet in the room, and I think everybody had a lot to think about, you know. And I, you know, they've been taking questions and or comments after the other speakers. And I just thought, like, maybe as a white person, I should speak up and say, so I raised my hand and I was like, you know, I am a white, cisgender, heterosexual woman, and there's been lots of discussion here about engaging with audiences. People had talked about Facebook groups. People had talked about Facebook Live. These are all things we do.
Right.
And I said, you know, to my white colleagues, you need to be ready for people to join your communities who are different from you.
Who don't look like you.
Don't look like you, maybe don't think like you, maybe don't, you know, act.
Well, I also think that you brought up that about it's very hard as a white person to speak for the non-white people.
Well, and you don't.
You can't.
You do not.
No,
you do not
no,
do that.
No.
Actually, well, you know what?
Right.
It's not hard for white people to do that because they try to do
well,
it all the time.
They do it as they've been doing it for centuries.
Yes.
Right. So, but what I'm saying is, you can't. You can support. You can be there. You can encourage. I mean, but I cannot speak as a person of color. I can only speak of who I am.
Right. And so I just said, I was like, hey, make sure that you make space for these people to share their experiences, or just know there are going to be people who are different from you. And then once again, lots of silence.
And then I spoke a little bit.
Mom spoke a little bit. We talked about some of the interactions we've had in our group.
We did bring that up.
We brought up how people want to discuss, you know, sewing that's related to politics sometimes, and how we feel like we handle that in a good way. We talk about how we sometimes the issue of race and monuments, you know, Civil War monuments came up in our group. And I said, you know, you wouldn't think that would maybe come up in a sewing group, but it did. And I think our group made a really positive thing out of that discussion, thanks to our members.
Right.
I mean, our members really, like, took it.
That's a really good group.
No, it is really good. But I think it partially was that way. It's not just because of us, necessarily. You know, it's because of the members, because of the tone we've set, you know.
Right.
And so anyway, I brought that up. It was not something
It's been very organic in our group.
Yes, but it wasn't something that I thought about, like, when I thought, oh, we're going to Common Threads.
I won't be bringing
up the race discussions we've had in the Self-Sewn Wardrobe group, but there was a place to talk about that. And quite a few people came up to either me or you afterwards.
They did, and they thanked us for speaking up.
And they were just like, yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Yes.
But for some reason, they were a little bit timid about it.
I believe that everybody was thinking.
Yeah, I think so, too. Oh, no, I do think. I do think that also.
I mean, Jenny Doan was like, I think it needs to be a safe place for everybody, too.
And we talked about, we felt that our the self-sewn wardrobe was absolutely a safe place for people to come. We feel that.
We hope it is.
And it should be. And if you don't feel like it is, you need to let us know.
Well, and it needs to be, you know, so the whole sewing world, you know, needs to be like that.
It needs to be a lot of safe places to go.
And just places where people can be themselves. And it's becoming a place where, you know, like, what I was kind of worried about when I spoke up, there is something called, like, you know, like white savior syndrome, right? You know?
Yeah.
That's not what we're trying to do here. But we wanted to say, hey, you know, just in case you've been real, like, I don't know if sheltered's the word, but if you've not been around people who are different from you, it's going to happen. And also, I mean, there are people like Mimi G. There are people, the Crafty Gemini was there.
Yeah,
and they're
Vanessa.
Making their own communities, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, obviously, right? You know. So I think it's very promising. And I thought it took guts for Baby Lock to present that information at all. I think they could have totally.
Patty Young is also Latino.
Yeah, she's from Costa Rica.
Is she Costa Rica? Yeah. Oh, Costa Rica? Really?
It's on her Facebook profile.
No, she's Costa Rica. That's really exciting. Okay.
So that is cool. But
She called me her other mother.
She did. Yeah. Patty Young of Mod Kid Boutique said that ZD was like her other mother and that I was like her sister. And I love her so much.
I do too. She really does not live very far from us.
No, she doesn't.
Actually lives in the same town as my very best friend.
We have no excuse not to see her every once in a while.
We'll have to get together.
So, but Baby Lock could have totally done some other presentation.
Well, no, it was,
they didn't have
to
talk about it.
You know what happened? It was brought up to them and they faced it head on. That's what was nice about it.
You know, sometimes this just is personal for me. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm like a sewing blogger and I'm not getting to I don't know.
You're just not that deep, Mallory.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. I'm like, oh, I'm not helping people, or I could have been
a
lawyer.
Your existential life?
Yeah. I could have done something else. And I'm like, you know what? Oh my gosh, this corporate entity is trying to, you know, do the right thing. And I was like, all right, you know, and it made, you know, it's not about making me feel better, but it did. So there we go. Anyway, so after that, we did a quilting class with Jenny Doan.
Yeah.
And honestly, she was talking about half-square triangles, and it was cool, but I started to get dizzy when she was flipping around.
She would flip this stuff around, flip-flop,
cut this into thirds, and then da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, oh, my God, Jenny, going down the half-square triangle highway.
That's a good way to put it.
At warp speed, okay. So that was a fun class.
I was sort of surprised that there were people there that hadn't quilted, hadn't pieced anything.
So she said she kind of revealed a little bit of ignorance on her
part.
Yeah,
she revealed her,
this was funny. She goes, I thought everybody here was a quilter for the last, 2 years or last three years she'd been there. And so she was kind of going from the basics.
Right.
And it was fun. It definitely appealed to, your geometry, you know, brain, where you're like, this color, this flips, this, you know, makes a swirly pin, whatever they're called, you know.
I have all those names.
Pinwheel, hourglass, you know.
Drunkard's path.
There we go. Mom made a quilt block. I made a quilt block.
I don't think we picked them up, though. We hung them
up.
Oh,
no, we have. I have them.
Oh, okay.
I have them.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't. Okay,
I'll get you your quilt block. So.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it.
Yeah. And then the most fun we had at Common Threads happened on Thursday evening.
Right. So we had Jenny Doan, quilts, and then we had dinner.
Uh-huh.
And then there was Open Sew, and I'm saying to Mallory, oh, man, I am just not going to sit around and make quilt blocks tonight, because all I saw was this cotton fabric there.
Right. And
they had layer cakes there is what they had.
And they wanted us to play around on the sewing machines. And I mean, once again, I don't know.
Okay, who needs to play around with the sewing machine?
Right.
We were teaching people the sewing machine.
So it wasn't like we were like, oh, I didn't know the Destiny had the pivot function or something like that.
I didn't know the Ovation was a combination serger, you know.
And I wasn't feeling good. I don't know how you were feeling.
I thought I was tired. I thought I was tired.
My body
no,
felt
I
like...
No, I think I was tired.
My body felt like one of those cartoons where the person is going to split in half.
I just thought, you're tired and tomorrow you're going to be really tired if you don't take it easy. Right.
So, Evie Hawkins of A Bit of Stitch, if you don't know who she is, check out abitofstitch.com, okay? And she had said, I need a pair of leggings.
Okay, well, what happened was I was at the cutting table.
Oh, yeah.
And Cindy from Riley Blake...
Uh-huh.
Right. Throws these bolts of fabric down on the ground, on the cutting table, and I was like, is that knit? And I see Mallory coming up with Evie, and they're having some sort of leggings conversation.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes. Yes. And so Evie, though, before dinner, because I know that something happened before dinner where she said, I want to make leggings.
I didn't know about this.
Well, she did because I was measuring her in the dinner line. Remember?
So that must have happened before dinner.
Evie's wearing a long skirt, and I'm trying to get her thigh measurement in the dinner line, partially because I'm feeling so bad that I want to go I want to go back to the hotel, and it's 5 o'clock, and I don't want to stay till 9, right? But I'm like, okay, let's get Evie's measurements. We can just draft this pattern right onto the fabric. We can make Evie...
Well, no, I don't think we knew. Did we know we had fabric then?
I guess we did.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, but then...
But I thought we were stuck with quilting cotton for the evening.
Yeah, did too. And, it's fine, but I just wasn't in the mood either. Right. I was sort of like, okay, I mean... It wasn't what I wanted to do, but yes, we found out there was knit fabric. Cindy from Riley Blake was really nice. And, the quilting cotton is from Riley Blake, too, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful floral prints. So we figure out we got knit fabric and everything, and then Baby Luck doesn't have tracing paper at their Achievement Center.
Or a dressmaker's curve.
Okay.
Or any sort of paper that you would get, draft onto.
But they did have gigantic post-it notes. And they were like 30 inches wide. Like they were like,
I think they were, yes.
The big thing you can draw on.
I'm trying to think
what
they were. I think 30 is right because I think I'm, yes. I we think could about get 30 inches.
Everybody's legging fit on there.
Actually not.
Oh,
I had
no.
to turn one the other way.
Okay.
But
you pieced together a couple pieces.
Right. So these were post-it notes the size of the front of your refrigerator.
There we go.
Whatever. And we were sticking them together to make them longer. And there was no dressmaker's curve. Shame on Baby Lock. I think that will be changed next year.
We're all in good fun. Oh, we don't want to not get invited,
I think that might get changed next year. But anyway, so I'm drafting Evie's leggings.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then you're helping her, you're kind of walking her through how to make, and you're teaching her ham hot.
I taught some people ham hot.
Right.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And then someone goes, where did you get the leggings pattern? And I said, well, I drafted it.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? I go, we measured her and we drafted it. So now Cindy, who was from Riley Blake.
Whose fabric we're cutting up willy-nilly.
Yeah, we're doing whatever we want with.
Oh, we'll take a yard and a half of this, I mean.
And she says, I want leggings. So then we measure her. Right.
Yeah.
And then Patty comes up and she says,
I want leggings.
Wait a minute. How come everybody's getting leggings?
We did cheat a little bit because didn't you use Evie's pattern too?
I used Evie's pattern on me.
On you. Yeah, for you.
Right. And actually we used Cindy's. We modified Cindy's pattern. I measured
Patty
and I said, you need to modify this way to get these to fit you. Because we need to draft her.
We're
sending
her
the
pattern.
Class.
Yeah.
Right. She doesn't have her own class. But we just modified it from Cindy's. So we wind up with all these people in leggings and all these people looking at what happened here?
What are we doing? I mean, and the leggings, for the drafting part's the hard part, right?
Well, yeah.
Putting together a pair
the
of leggings.
The more scientific part, I guess.
Putting together a pair of leggings once you know how to do it. Right. Boom, boom, boom. Right. You make a pair of leggings for five people in an evening, right?
Okay. Drafting is the engineering,
Yes. And we have all of that memorized. I had all.
And apparently I have the shape of the curve in my wrist.
That's right. No, the crotch curve's not that complicated on
them. It's not. It's really not.
It's funny because you and Evie are kind of a similar size, but Cindy is a lot taller than Patty.
Well, we cut them off.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. And so Cindy was taller than Patty, and Patty's shorter, but Patty and Cindy had similar hip
It was closer, thigh, yes,
you know, was closer. Measurement. So right. That was really cool. And Riley Blake has this lovely cotton lycra.
Right.
And it really is nice.
Yes, it's so nice.
I didn't get a pair because I wasn't feeling so hot and didn't really want to measure myself. But Cindy, let's take some fabric home.
We have plenty of
fabric. We have lots of fabric. Yes. And Cindy made her own leggings. Yes. Do you know that? Yes. Like, I didn't really sew those for her.
She has an Ovation at home.
Right.
That apparently she's not totally explored. So the fact that then we showed her how to do the, and we showed her ham hot.
Right.
She was like, I've got this. She said, I can do this anytime. Well, of course, they all got to go home with their leggings pattern.
And we used self-fabric waistbands on all of these, right?
Well, yes, we did. And then Denise from Baby Lock.
Yeah. No, yes, Denise.
Yeah, her name was Denise.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, well, I want a pattern. I go, there's no paper left. She went and got paper that somebody taught a class on. That had all of this writing and everything. Right. And I just drafted over. I said, you better find me a different color pen, that, you know, Sharpie than this black, because I don't know if you're going to be able to decipher this when you get home. And she brought me a red pen, a red Sharpie, and I drafted hers in red.
So we didn't just, like, draft out these paper things and hand them to people. Everybody put their leggings on, and we got pictures.
Oh, yeah. We've got pictures.
They are on Instagram in that blue and pink floral Riley Blake knit. It was so fabulous.
And just so y'all know, if you haven't ordered the leggings class, they all fit the first time.
Yes, they did.
They,
you know,
did.
I think one thing that I keep meaning to write down that popped into my head during my live broadcast this morning is we should mention to people, you probably want your leggings a little higher than your pants. That was one.
Well,
Cindy's
downfall. I think we need to say that in the class.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I think we need to have, a little. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. We'll do that. We'll have, like, extra tips and talk about something like that.
Yeah, that was the only thing. And
no, Cindy, I have that written down.
Cindy put hers on, and this was, we fixed it, because she put hers on, and she's like, oh, I think I wish I would have drafted a little higher.
Because she wanted them measured from the pants, the woven pants she had on. And I said, these are going to be kind of, she goes, no, I like them here. So we did that. So then we just made her a very big, thick ham hot waistband.
We made her a very tall waistband, right. And they stayed up on her.
And she said she was going to keep it that way, because I wrote on her pattern, you know, I put an asterisk and I said, if you want this higher, you can bring this up this way. Yeah, I told her how to do it or whatever. She's like, no, I'm using this wide. She says, can't I keep using this wide waistband? I said, you sure can.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. It was so cool because
it was so spontaneous. It was just so funny. Yeah, it was just so funny.
And you know what was even better is the next day.
Yeah,
coming down to breakfast. Evie's wearing her leggings under a little jean skirt. That's where Evie was wearing hers. And then Patty had this maroon shirt, and I think she had maroon shoes, right? Like,
I don't know. It all went together, though.
And
she said, I had this outfit, but I was going to wear white pants. And all of her colors were, like, in the leggings.
They fit in this fabric. The fabric is like, blue and pink and has, like, maroon in it, you know, with the flower. And, it fit.
That was a charge
so
to see them.
So two people wore the leggings the next day. Like,
right.
And we had class. We had more class, you know, time. So that was fabulous. And it was so much fun.
It really was.
To make those leggings for everybody. I mean.
So I just want, I guess we can say what Jenny Doan said.
Yeah, that's right.
So we went in a circle to say goodbye, and Jenny Doan goes, well, and you were supposed to say, like, goodbye. What did you learn?
What'd you learn?
And what, you know, what, anything else that was significant to you that you might want to speak about? And she says, well, the thing I learned is you don't go home early from free sew, or you don't get any leggings.
That's right. So a lot of common threads, people are now leggings testers.
That's
They're
right.
Like, I was like, well, if you'll do the class and give me the feedback, you can, you know, you can try this out. So that was really cool.
Well,
it was really
and then
fun.
The one thing Jody said, and I about flipped, okay, when we got to Jody from Better Homes and Gardens when she spoke up.
Yeah.
I had no idea that, but she had been hanging on the cutting table where I was drafting and cutting and everything. And at one point I said to her, do you want a pair or something? And she's like, no. You know, and she just seemed very timid about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go in the circle, and all of a sudden she says, you know, I learned to sew in 4-H, you know, when I was whatever. And then
she said garment sewing. She said, I started as garment sewing.
And then she said, I switched to quilting, and I've been quilting for 26
37. I thought she
I thought
said.
It was 26. So, it's a big number.
It was a long time.
It's a big number. And she said, and when I saw what was happening last night with ZD and Mallory, I'm going to make a garment.
Yeah. And that was like, oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I was like, oh, man. You know,
that was fun. And, you know, my favorite thing I learned was that Nancy Zeman didn't want some man telling her how to dress. And I thought that was amazing, you know. But I got to sit with Patty Young at the Ovation for so long during that leggings.
I know you did.
Thing. And we just talked about so many things. And I was just like, Patty, I want to design fabric. She's like, well, do you have, like, sketches made up? I'm like, nope. No. She helped me out. And everyone was so helpful. Like, that day, even after we said everything we'd learned, we were all sitting around eating lunch.
Well, it was
more information got exchanged.
And the one man that was there, still there, Mimi and her husband had left, but Norris had left. But, you know, our tattooed quilter said.
Christopher, yeah.
Yeah, he said, I did not feel out of place. Nothing. Yeah. You know, you all just...
He said, like, it's very clear that I'm very accepted here.
Right.
And I was just like, yeah.
And he said, and I'm not like all of you.
Well, and, you know, it's sort of, when you think about it, like common sense. But then it's sad that it's not common sense. It's sad that we might think that we were going to go to a place and not feel at home.
Right.
You know?
Actually, I didn't know how I was going to feel.
Yeah.
There was no one there. Actually, you didn't know this happened because I didn't say anything. So the first night. And I don't remember who it was because, of course, there were all these new people.
Yeah.
And someone said to me, oh, so what's your background or whatever? And I said, well, we were actually dealers till, you know, March. And the person said to me, oh, the dealer word.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
I know. I didn't want to tell you that right up front, you know, at this event. But I will tell you that I did not want to explore that with her. So I did not. I moved on to a more friendly face.
You don't know what that meant.
I don't. I don't. I was just afraid it wasn't something I wanted to hear. I was just afraid. So.
Well, we had a wonderful time at Common Threads, and we can't. I hope this podcast doesn't disqualify us from getting asked back.
No, and thanks to Christine Hong. She is the one that put it together.
And
blood, sweat, and tears over it. And she did an excellent job.
And Kelly McVicker, who answered my neurotic text message about, can I change into my outfit?
Right.
And, of course,
Steve Jeffries,
Linda Rainwater, Margot Morris, Craig, and Andy Touche. He was there a lot.
That's his name.
Yeah, that's
Touche.
Touche.
Not Touche Andy, but Andy Touche.
He actually doesn't pronounce it correctly. I'll just say that. I've said it to his face. The way it's spelled, it should be pronounced Touchette. But he said that his grandfather decided to say it Touche because it would go over better with the ladies.
And that sounds
not surprised
like
at all.
I get that.
Not,
no. I think he shares his grandfather's DNA. I do.
And who? Jeff was there. Jeff and Diane helped us jump our car.
That's
before
right.
Before we left because the car wouldn't start.
Yep.
And Denise, you've mentioned already, just lots and of... You'd... Oh, and Patty. Hello. Patty taught the last class.
Oh.
On the... Hello.
Oh, Patty. Sorry, Patty. Last but not least.
No, Patty taught the last class on the Destiny, and she was fabulous teaching everybody when we were all tired and everything. So anyway, well, you can get in contact with us if you have any questions. You can email me at mallory@sewhere.com. You can follow us on Instagram, ZD Sewing Studio, and you can sign up for our newsletter at sewhere.com/lovenote.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.